Our Father in heaven, as we have heard your word read and proclaimed, we pray that you would open our hearts to its truth. Speak now by your Spirit. Illuminate its truth to our lives, that we might know the joy of being a child of God. Help us now to receive, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Adoption is what we're talking about this morning. Adoption is really been what Paul in the book of Galatians, as we're in chapter 4 now, has been driving towards in these chapters as he has dealt with the error, the misbelief, the misapplication of God's truth in the church at Galatia, depending on themselves and their own work. He's been driving towards an understanding of what the choir sung this morning, that we're justified not by what we do, but by the righteousness of Christ. And, even better, not only are we declared right with God, but we are declared children of God. Paul has been putting together all these intricate pieces of the order of God's work in salvation, this order of operation, so that we might receive and enjoy what belongs to us, sonship, identity, inheritance in Christ Jesus. He cares about us understanding our status so that we might also have a sense of security. That belonging to Christ would drive us to confidence in daily life as children of God. That operation sometimes gets confused in people's lives. Sometimes we want to make ourselves okay with God when God says the only way to be okay is to be made okay in Christ. It's like the basketball goal we were putting together at our house yesterday. It was a birthday present. We believe in Christmas gifts that keep on giving and giving and giving. So after, 2.5 months, I'm finally getting to the point of putting together Noah's basketball goal that he has religiously asked me about every week since he got it in Christmas. Someone told me it would take probably about 4 hours to put it together. That's like, no way. Come on. It's a pole. With a board on it and a hoop. 2.5 hours in and 100 bolts and nuts and all these things putting together, we had to call it quits because there's so many operations to put this one little thing that you could throw a ball through a hole. There's like 100 different pieces to put together. I'm like, oh man, this is complicated. What's made even more complicated is the fact that whoever wrote it was writing in 4 different languages. And the guide for the pictures of what to put together are in the front. And the verbiage on how to put it together is in the back. Now, some of you are like me. You just like to look at the pictures and just go with it. And then you have to back up the operation every few steps. For the last 15 minutes, what you've been doing is out of order. And you have to redo it. In one sense, it's really what's been happening here at the Church of Galatia. They started well. They wanted to understand the gift of Christ. They had great hopes of the work of Christ. But as they went along, they started getting things out of order in the operation of the way God had put their salvation together. Instead of depending on Christ, they had begun to depend on themselves. And Paul brings them to the gifts of God. God's judgment. God's judgment was placed on Jesus so that you might be justified right with Him. And God's family is procured by Jesus so that you might have confidence in relationship with Him day by day. The beauty of the gospel, as Paul expounds it here in the book of Galatians, is that we are the family of God by faith. We are loved. There's no need to be fearful. We are loved. We are a people of joy. When anxious drowns out our joy, we must be reminded that we can have confidence because we are sons and daughters of the Most High. But that mentality is hard to grasp, hard to hold on to. We wrestle with that mentality, that sonship mentality or the slave mentality. And Paul knows it. And so he addresses what it means to be a child of God. He addresses the burden that is lifted because Christ has stood in our place. He shows us the bridge that the Son has made to the Father and the Spirit who will bless us as we rest in the full work of Christ. But the very evidence that you're struggling with what it means to be a child of God comes in very predictable ways. When your relationship with God becomes, I did or I didn't. God is happy with me if I did, or unhappy with me if I didn't. That's a slavish mentality. And we're no longer slaves. By faith, we're no longer slaves. We're no longer under bondage. We're free. The mentality of the gospel is not, I did, I didn't. It is, I am, and I shall. I am a child of God. It's relational. I am, and I shall. I will pursue Him because of who I am, and because all that He has given. And so this morning, I want you to understand from Paul, from chapter 4, verses 1 through 7 here, that all God's children are adopted children. All God's children are adopted children. When I speak of God here, I mean the work of adoption is the work of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And the only begotten, the Son of God, He comes for us, He bridges the gap so that all God's earthly children might be adopted children. The legal decree, not guilty, is joined instantly to the legal decree of child mine. You see, the delight of the gospel is not only that we're free from sin, but we're drawn into the family. We're drawn into the relationship that delights our heart to rest in God. And you see that in the text. Paul does that first by an analogy here in verses 1 through 3. You see, there's the burden for adoption. The burden for adoption. He's already told us in the last three verses, those verses that we just studied last week, that we have an identity and an inheritance because we are called children of God. And He wants us to live in that sonship, that right of belonging to God. And He comes to an analogy, a burden that is lifted. You see, this idea of adoption, it breaks bondage and gives freedom. It breaks the bondage and gives the freedom. And if you look there in verses 1 through 3, he uses an analogy from his contemporary day. If a child was to inherit the property in Roman and Greek culture, there was slight variation, but it went something like this. Until the day of determination for that child, the child was under a guardian. And they were an heir by rights, but not an heir by facts. What I mean by that is that it all belonged to them, but they hadn't fully received it until the day determined by the Father. They were an heir by right. You see it there in verse 2. It belongs to them. But they're treated just like a slave. They're under direction, under guardians, under managers. And Paul says there in verse 3, in the same way, we also, when we were children, were enslaved to the elementary principles of the world. The point that Paul is making here, actually, as commentators wrestle with it, they wrestle with that idea there of elementary principles in two ways, because Paul is notorious for using same concepts in different ways. Sometimes he uses that concept of elementary principles to speak of kind of being enslaved to worldly orders, more the demonic or the oppression of spiritual forces. Sometimes he does that. That's what he does in Ephesians chapter 6, for instance. And sometimes when he speaks of that elementary principle, he uses it in the root cause of that term elementary, like learning the ABCs. And so he may be speaking here of the enslavement to the values of the world, or he may be speaking here of the enslavement being under the law as a chastening tool to discipline you, because the law disciplines and the gospel frees. And the challenge here is to determine, what is he speaking of? But mostly he has been speaking in our text of the law of God, and how the law of God is a tutor towards Christ, how it's a prison warden that shows us our sin. And I think the right representation, though there may be instances of both in his analogy here, the right representation here is it's time to get out of grade school and graduate to full identity in Christ. You see, the law of God gives us the ABCs. It shows us what we need, but it is Christ who frees us to enjoy life full, life abundant, life everlasting. And so the burden is lifted because adoption, these legal rights as children of God, are given. You know, some of us in the room are twice adopted. Adopted as an earthly son, but all who by faith are adopted as heavenly children. You see, the picture here that Paul drives is that all God's children are adopted children. They have the rights that belong to the very Son. The unique God-man, the rights that belong to Him belong to the children of God. So don't live like you're in school detention. Any of y'all ever end up in detention in school? You're not going to own it if you did anyway, are you? You know, detention was that set apart place for those kids who were bad in a bad way. You might get your hand slapped, and then you just turn to class. But sometimes you would get taken out of class, you would get put in another class, and you were in detention. And some of those who were in the church at Galatia, they lived like they were in detention. They were trying to prove themselves, trying to claw their way out, trying to climb towards God. And Paul's basically saying, don't live like you live in a detention hall. Live like you're a part of the family. Don't squander the gift of God's adoption. That's what the prodigal did. The prodigal son, Jesus tells the story of the prodigal who came to his father and wanted his inheritance even before the father died. That was an unheard of thing. And the father gives him his inheritance, and he runs off to a far country and lives wastefully. Lives for himself until it's all gone. In hard times, drive him into the pigsty. And there he remembers what it's like to be a servant. Not a son, but a servant in his father's house. And he runs home. I am not worthy to be a son. Make me a servant. That was going to be the plea of his heart. But the prodigal God, the prodigal father, runs to him and throws him a banquet. For he who was lost is found. He who was gone has come home. He who was without has returned to the blessing of the Son. Paul is driving that point to our hearts. That sonship is not living for the scraps that fall off the Father's table. Sonship is living in the rich realities that we are broken, free from the bondage of sin, to live in the freedom and joy that is Christ's. And he makes that point because all that Jesus has done for us. You see, this morning the burden is lifted because the bridge has been built by the Son. Jesus is the answer to sonship, to the gift of sonship, and to the provision of sonship. Notice there in verse 4. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His, capital S-O-N, His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as children, as sons. And because you are sons of God, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. The picture there is that the answer to our need is in Jesus. Because of what Jesus has done, now there is no estrangement. God's not far off. God the Father, by the work of the Son, in the joy of the provoking work of the Spirit has come near. I love these words from Sinclair Ferguson. Sinclair Ferguson, speaking of the nature of our adoption, he talks about the realities and the beauty of adoption. He says these words: "The notion that we are children of God, His own sons and daughters, lies at the heart of all Christian theology and the mainspring of all Christian living. And the knowledge that the Father has bestowed His love on us so that we are called children of God, and in fact we are His children, will over time prove to be the solvent in which our fears, mistrust, and suspicions of God, as well as our sense of distance from God, will eventually dissolve." You see, the picture there is that all we have is because of what Jesus has done. And in what Jesus has done, it begins to break down the very things that separate us from God. Mistrust, distance, heartache. Jesus bridges the gap and overcomes the distance between us and God. You see, our adoption is costly and free. It is free to us because it is received as a gift, but it was extremely costly to the Son, was it not? He who was over the world entered the world in the fullness of time. He who made the law, determined the law, went under the law, so that those who were cursed by the law might be redeemed. He who was master of all became slave to all to free us from sin. That's the heart of Galatians here in chapter 4, verses 4 and 5. To show us the beauty of the redeeming work of Jesus, and that you might receive this gift of adoption. Costly. Jesus' own life, that we may freely become a part of the family. Oh, it's a breathtaking reality, isn't it? To receive that adoption that belongs to God. Sometimes our hearts ask, does God really care? Does God really love us? And the answer from the text is an absolute yes. 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 And the truth is, we must be as a people not led by our feelings in this moment, but we must take our feelings to the cross. The heart of adoption calls us not to be unfeeling people. We can be the people who feel most deeply because we have a place to go. When our feelings mislead us from God, we take those feelings to the cross because the one who stood over life entered this life. The one who stood over the law came under the law. The one who should have been judge became the Redeemer so that we might know life to the fullest. Adoption? Legal rights as the children of God is both costly and free. It costs Jesus everything, and it gives us freely all things. So excited about the text, I just pulled it out of the Bible. The bridge for adoption is always in Christ. The burden that is lifted is no more bondage, but freedom. But the gift that is given, the blessing of the text, is that we have the Spirit of God who resides with us. Notice there, this idea of blessing there in verses 6 and 7. And because you are sons, possession, belonging. Because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of His Son, Jesus' Spirit, the Holy Spirit, into our hearts crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. You know what the great blessing of adoption is? That we belong. and that we become children of God with the Spirit of God residing in us. This internal guide and director to help us know the will of the Father and to follow the will of the Father. God has given us a Spirit that enables us not just to cry out, Lord, for He is. God is Lord of all. But to cry out, Abba, Father. Respect and intimacy are ours because of the great work of Jesus. Again, if I can read from another great theologian, from Martin Luther. Martin Luther says this, there is no slavery in Christ, but only sonship. My obedience can prove I am a servant, but not that I am a son. My sonship is based entirely on the redemption accomplished by the Son of God. God's Spirit confirms by enabling me to call God Father. Servants can only say Lord, but sons can say Abba, Father. I want you to see this morning that when Jesus comes to you as He does now, when He is received by faith as we rest in Him, we have this great advantage. This great joy, we may reach forward and say, Father. Sometimes people will ask me, because I have biological children and adopted children, some people will ask me, can you love the adopted one as much as you love the biological one? And I just scratch my head sometimes. Now, I know that for many, that is a real question, because they have also thought about adoption. If I adopted one, could I adopt them and love them the same way I love the ones I already have? And I appreciate that question. And sometimes it's this belief that I don't see how that could ever be possible. If they don't have my DNA, how can I truly love them? Well, my wife, she's in the other room working with worship kids. She doesn't have the same DNA. We have children with our DNA, but she doesn't have the same DNA. And I tell you, I love her. I love her not because she has the same DNA. I love her because I have chosen to place my love there, and she has chosen to place her love here. And there's a commitment. There's a covenant. There's a promise. There's a relationship. I love her. And I can tell you, I have biological children, and I have an adopted child. And they are my real children. Fully. Our children, top to bottom, beginning to end. Why? Because there's no fear in sonship. There's not distance. There's the drawing in of relationship. The best of relationships don't start necessarily with biology. They start with love. And Jesus here has poured Himself into us, giving us His Spirit so that we can speak to the Father the same way He speaks to the Father. Jesus Himself came to the Father and said, Abba, Father. That term of endearment, that desire of reception, that acknowledgement that God is great and God is close, that's what our adoption gives us. All God's children are adopted children. And the family ties drive us to see the beauty of the work of our Heavenly Father. See, there's family loyalty here by the Father. He's always giving Himself to us. And if we are bound to the Father through the Son, by the power of the Spirit, we're always in the right place. This week I heard the story of a father and son who were having a little date. They decided they would run out to a park. It was a new park for the son. And so the father knew that it would be easy for him to get lost. And the son was just happy to be with the father. And so they got there late in the afternoon, and the son was just joyous to be with the father. He picked up a stick and gave one to his father, and they were sword fighting and making their way along through the woods. And all of a sudden the father was gripped with something. You know, if we get separated, I don't think he knows where he is. And so he looked at the son and he said, son, do you know where we're going? The son said, nope. He said, son, do you know where we are? Nope. If we got separated, could you get back to the car? Nope. The father looked at him and said, son, you're lost. And the son looked up at the father and said, no, I'm with you, Dad. No, I'm with you, Dad. You see, there's a childlike hope that the youngest have in their fathers that ought to be the measure of the life we live as the children of God. If we're with Him, wherever He has us, we are in the right place. God has committed Himself to us. We are adopted for life, and we are adopted to share life. And that adoption drives our hearts, because adoption is personal. It's something that belongs to us. And because you are sons, it's deeply personal. God didn't just say, "I like that lot. Y'all look all right. I'll take you." Well, that's not how He works. Children of God, dearly loved, He rejoices over us. It's powerful. All the obstacles to belonging to God, He has overcome. Jesus willingly overcame the obstacles that would separate us from God. That's why we take our feelings to the cross and our hearts to our Father. Because He is very purposeful in magnifying the work of Jesus, that we may trust Him in giving us a Spirit who leads, so that we might be a Spirit-led, Father-exalted, Jesus-joyful people, because of the gifts we have in Him. We have so many gifts, we don't always realize what God has given. But He is purposeful, powerful, and personal in His work with us. February 24th, 1955. Stephen was born, a little baby boy who came into the world. His mom, Joanne, She was a master's student in a California university. She came to the point where she realized she just wasn't ready to have this child. And so she gave this little boy up for adoption. The little boy was adopted by a wife named Clara. She was an accountant. And a husband named Paul. He was a machinist. It was actually a very caring youth and childhood. The boy had some troubles in acclimating to adoption, but he was well loved. In the early 70s, he spent a semester at Reed College in Portland. But after a semester, he dropped out and slept on a friend's living room floor, picking up Coke cans and bottles or Coke bottles so that he could get the deposit, 5 cents apiece, and working in the local mall as a character in Alice in the Wonderland. A few years later, after that, he landed a job with Atari. Had extreme gifts as a gaming developer. A few years later, he would develop his own company. You've heard of it. Apple. Steve Jobs would go on to do many great things. As far as we know, and pretty certain of this, he never claimed Christ in this life. But he was a son who was given rights as a child of Clara and Paul. He was loved. And it manifests itself in gifts being used. Can I say this morning that God gives the best gifts, and God has the best ends? Loved, adopted, transformed to be a people who are cared for and caring for one another and others around us. It's the gift of being a child of God. Please pray with me. Father in heaven, Father, we come this day with the acknowledgement that you are great and good. You are gracious and kind in your fatherly affections. Father, would you help us to hold on to the truth that we're not slaves, but sons, and that you have adopted us for life because of the commitments you have made. Draw us near and draw us close, that we may love and live you as children of the Most High. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.